You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. All right, friends, we're back on Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall with a back-to-back. Last week, we released a podcast where my guest Esther was talking about her memories with Mengele, the Pope, among other things. It was definitely a graphic discussion that we had. And today, this is your warning. We are going to be continuing to be honest, to honestly portray and describe the things which she is a witness of, and to give testimony to those things that she has seen and heard and been participant in. And so with that said, if you have young children around, this is probably not the podcast for them. And with that established, just to reintroduce her a little bit, Esther is the twin sister of Sue Ford, who went by Bryce Taylor and wrote the book Thanks for the Memories. And that is actually still available. You can get that on Amazon. And for those of you that are wanting to understand the foundations of MK Ultra, government-sponsored mind control, the parties involved, people that were at the top of this country, very much in this world. She names names. She tells the story. And Esther, the person that I'm talking to today, was her twin, who lived much of her life in underground bases, being moved and trafficked in different ways. And several years ago, basically took over the role of representing Sue Ford to the world due to a series of circumstances. And so she is continuing the work of breaking out, recovering memories, testifying to the goodness and truth of Jesus Christ. Esther, welcome back to Discovering Truth.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. I really appreciate being able to share, speak the truth, and tell people about Jesus and what he's done to help us and how he actually has made all of the truth that I know possible, and how he continues to direct my path, and that I can share the truth that I know to help a lot of people. And I pray that this will help a lot of people.
Me too.
So what I'm going to do again, like I've done in the past few interviews, is to read from my Mengele notes and from my journal. And like I explained before, these aren't in chronological order, but hopefully someday I'll be able to get some help to get it put in that way so it could be like a book. But for right now, it's the Holy Spirit showing me it's urgent to share this information now. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading from these notes. And if you have any questions or want to interrupt me with all of your knowledge, because you have such a huge knowledge base, please feel free to stop me and share.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this is what the Holy Spirit wanted me to read today. And this first one is about my youth in Area 51.
Wow.
Which I think, as I explained before, but to make it very clear, my whole life while I was being used in these underground areas, I actually thought I was Sue Ford living her life in the world. And so it hid my memories, mm-hmm. all of my memories. And so for these past 5 years, the Holy Spirit's been bringing all of these memories back, including that I was a twin. Okay, so this was in my journal on January 1st, 2020, which would have been New Year's Day, right?
Yes.
And I wrote, Jesus shows us Area 51, the area overlooking it, where we're standing on that lookout in Las Vegas. I can't remember anything else, nothing before or after. And I said, what do you want me to see or know, Jesus? And then all of a sudden, it's full on vision. I see, I'm in an ab reaction flashback. A white van pulls up. We are just standing there robotically while two men get us into the van. We drive for a while. We are not seat belted in, but we are put in leg irons and wrist chains. We are secured like a prisoner. We have that want to go home feeling to make this all stop, but it never will. And I said, Jesus, this is me, Esther, in my journal telling Jesus, I'm not sure I can take any more memories. We're always tricked, punished, or tortured. And Jesus said, you, my child, were always like that stubborn baby panda trying to escape the crib where the other baby pandas were. They put you back through reprogramming and torture, but you kept working so hard to climb out over the bars to your freedom. But due to the mind control and multiple personality part, you could never remember much of anything, not even the threats made against your life. Nothing you, Esther, is as you thought. And the truth is that everyone surrounding you is also programmed, and this continued on and on and on. Then I wrote out the flashback. I see me sitting shackled in the white van. We drive, and we finally are driven up to a place where in the desert, where we see like garage type doorways that are built into the sand. So to go through these gates, you are driving into the underground areas. It's dark in these tunnels, but there are yellow reflectors a few feet up on the sidewalls to orient the driver. It is so dark. This next part is why I directed you. This is Jesus. This next part is why I directed you to put up the automatic light for your inner kids in your room. You were driven quite a ways up the tunnel. I see them, and then I see coming to an underground area where it now looks like an underground city. We pull up in an area that is no longer narrow and tight tunnels. Instead, it's an expansive area with a large paved parking lot with very large high fences surrounding this large parking lot area. And there are spiky wires over the top of these high fences, some of which are bent in at the top with the spiky wires over the top bent in partway. It has high security on top, tall on poles security systems, but there is no sky. This underground area must have been completely dug out so much that one doesn't immediately have the feeling that one is underground. And then during the time I'm writing this, I wrote, my body really hurts back. Okay, there are buildings and our hands hurt from the handcuff. Everything hurts. We are locked in a program commanding park mode where we are completely robotic. The parts inside are in a Jesus section that programmers never find. And Jesus is with these parts and tells them, watch carefully. These parts look like angels, but Jesus says they are part of us. They are watching for Jesus and now able to tell us exactly what they witnessed and what they saw because of Jesus' direction and directing us to watch carefully. The van drivers are in white uniforms that make them look like the Orkin man or some repair service, but here they are with us. They have a scanner that they scan when we come to yet another gated area with a large building within it. The gate automatically opens to them and they drive through. We are taken into the building, which they have to scan to get into. They walk us, still in handcuffs and leg chains, up to a door and command us to enter. Somehow we know how we know to stand squarely in front of the heavy metal white door and lean our forehead to rest on an invisible to the naked eye scanner. And the door opens to us, but only after the two guards had left and the door shut behind them. We are now in a room with glass walls and live green plants that are living in water like huge aquariums behind the glass walls. It's pretty, but we are not at all sure what this area is or where to go. So we stop abruptly waiting for our programming commands from within to kick in. We are directed from a robotic voice we hear from inside that says, go to cell block 16. Somehow we know exactly where to go. We go through halls and more security doors until we finally reach the unmarked door we know we are to enter. This is completely familiar to us as we are taken here often. This is our home away from home, where they continue their endless tests and experiments on us, trying to figure out why we don't die. We are programmed to enter the area with a cage 16, our cage, and we know how to use the invisible chip in our left wrist that when swiped down a metal plate at our cage will set off the automatic door of our cage, which opens to us and we walk inside. We robotically walk inside of our own prison cell, still with our handcuffs and leg chains on. We know once inside, the automatic door will lock securely and we will be so-called safe again within our cell. At least this is what our handlers, prison guards, and programmers tell us. In the past, when we suddenly would somehow come to the realization, I'm trapped here, I'm locked in a prison cell, they would stun gun us or otherwise torture us for attempting freedom. After 1991, we are no longer trusted to be outside our cage without wrist and leg iron because of the elopement risk. We had to look up what that meant. The definition of elopement was leaving a safe area done by a person with a mental disorder or a cognitive impairment. We break program more often than they can imagine now, and we are used to their torture punishment and having interrogation and torture techniques used on us for so-called terrorists. We have they use the same torture techniques on us that they used on so-called terrorists. We have become an above classified status project, as we have heard scientists and doctors rationalize that they may need to discover our secret to immortality because we are from an alien race that may seek to attempt to take over the earth. In the meantime, the government, different agencies, and God knows who else, received mass funding for our project experiment. I wonder if this is funded by taxpayer dollars. And that's the end of that one that he wanted me to read. Do you have any questions or anything to say before I start this next one?
Just, you know, wow. Okay. No, I'm not going to interrupt you. Are we continuing on the subject of Area 51 with this next memory?
No. No, this is going to be called Wormwood. That's the overall.
So I guess, you know, before we get to that, this is your recounting of Area 51 here. Is there anything you want to add relative to the actual account regarding Area 51 before we move on?
Well, yeah, actually. Oh, okay. Jesus, help me. Okay. Yes, when I said in there that the officials were saying that they needed to understand more about what our technologies and stuff because of who we were and however that was, I read this is where L.A. Marzulli and Tom Ford by Gary Stern and them actually said, you know, I wonder if there was an emergency. It seemed like a national emergency, which caused the government people to pay attention even to this. And the statement that I just read of some of those scientists was that they were concerned that there might be an emergency that they would need to understand. So I'm just saying, you know, that just floated through my mind as I was reading that, that, you know, there may be more to help us all understand how on earth we got to this.
Wow.
Where our government is hiding this. It's starting to come out, but they're still hiding it. And what is all this? Okay, so I'm understanding more because Jesus had said over the past 5 years, as I've been having memories that he's brought back, that I was his witness.
Mm-hmm.
And that he would use me in this way. And I can understand now this information is very relevant for an eyewitness. And evidently, I'm not the only one. Because according to L.A. Marzulli, there are other people who have explained what I did in one of those interviews with you, that there are creatures in these deep underground military bases that are hybrid, and they are half animal, half whatever. And so I learned this morning in their interview that they had done several years ago that other people have also come forward that have been in those deep underground military bases and have said what I said. So it was just confirmation. And I'm watching the Holy Spirit work. I mean, I can't believe he keeps bringing me the confirmation after I've had my own memories. You know, I had these quite a while ago. And so he let me have all my memories. He told me no TV or, you know, I wasn't watching a lot of stuff. So I had no validation. I just was sort of out there with all these memories. But now, and I'm doing these interviews with you, and he's bringing confirmation from other
people.
So
you were trafficked as a slave to Area 51, and you definitely know there were hybrid creatures down there. There's no question about it. And now we're ready to talk about Wormwood.
Yes, there were hybrid creatures down there. And what is there? Okay, we'll go through that later.
Okay.
Yes, there. That's a big subject. Okay. Okay, this was dated August 31st, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Holy Spirit indicated last night that he was preparing to open more mind files. This was then the next day. Okay, so the next day, I sit down because I read the word. He has me read the word, and then I say your prayers. And I usually he'll take me into a memory after my prayers or during the prayers or whatever. So I wrote, immediately I see a cell block, a gray prison wall and cells all with automated doors. I hear alarms connected to automated cell doors when they're open. I asked Jesus, is this real in the physical or just a program inside? This is what he said. The Holy Spirit said, this is where you spent the majority of your life, Esther, locked in a small automated cell with mirrors on the wall and some places on the floor, indicating portals you were directed by your handlers astral travel through to other dimensions that they believe are real. So I had mirrors on the wall and the floor. One project was called Wormwood and is classified. truth is, Esther, the demons waited for you to go into the deep trance state that was required for you to astral travel. Your handler attached electrodes to your head to measure your brain electrical activity during these travels, and they recorded what you reported upon your return. They believe you to be of alien DNA with advanced capabilities, including coming back to life and all of these giftings, and you were heavenly guarded and monitored. They believe they spoke to aliens, advanced aliens, your family, through you and to Sue as she was in different locations. Kelly was also used as a breeder, was mostly used as a breeder. All three of you were totally controlled. And I wrote, with this information, I feel very sick to my stomach, sort of delirious like drugs, which was also part of the flashback. Your handlers at NASA and other military bases that dealt with outer space issues, Air Force bases, and at Strong Memorial Hospital in New York, where Henry Kissinger could personally interface with you, your data and handlers, they experimented using different psychotropic drugs to see if they or other types of drugs like scopolamine would enhance your travel or ability to communicate with extraterrestrial beings, aliens from whom you received very advanced high-tech data from in their scientific language that you, Esther, or Sue knew nothing about. That scientific language was given to us by programmers, scientists, NASA scientists who are awesome. They recorded your verbal recordings explaining what you saw, felt, heard, witnessed, and took your vital signs as you traveled out of your body to different planets or areas where you were directed. You feel strange and out of it now, Esther, because going into these memories brings the body memory of these out of its mind state. Esther, there are no aliens from other planets. There is no family for you in outer space. My Esther, you are not an alien. You are a human, tragically tortured, drugged, imprisoned for uses that were evil and above top secret. Taking NASA scientists, employees, etc., on a journey of lies and entangling you in deeper into experiments where you were also tortured to talk, tell the truth about your alien origins and your species' ability to come back from death to life. It was and still is an open, above, top secret classified project that studied you your entire lifetime, trying to crack the DNA code to immortality, when in truth, this is all made up lies. I, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, am the secret to your immortality, my child. The only reason you are alive and well today. I freed you for my purposes, which will be fulfilled. These next months and years, I will be taking you 2 days on and 2 days off this work in order to show you what your life actually was. The truth of your existence as I remove the mind control programming from the parts involved and deliver you from the demons that were put in place to guard all of this information and keep it from your awareness. I am delivering you now, and I went into deep yawning exhaustion like I do when he's still delivering me today. I am delivering you now, setting you free from this wormwood system. In time, I will show you how Suzuki and Chevette and the other space kids were used and abused at NASA. And I will be healing you to be stronger as you enter oneness with me. One day, no longer multiple, but one person filled totally with my Holy Spirit. You can nap now, Chief. So that was the end of that part that he wanted me to read, I think.
Fascinating. So you were in this, and it sounds like Wormwood in this sense is Project Wormwood, correct?
Yes.
Project Wormwood. And so they were trying to mine you for data.
Yeah, evidently.
And as part of this project, you were being sent to other planets astrally.
I was being sent. Not just other planets, but I was being sent to spy on people, the people they wanted me to spy on. I was doing all of those giftings. You know how you can go and be able to tell them exactly what the person was had on their desk and
remote viewing.
Remote viewing, all of that. I was even trained last night in my sleep. I had this revelation, probably for today, but I was. Even trained, parts were trained in all of the Freemasonry hand signals, which I don't know, but I had parts in a system that knew all of that, so they could remote view what hand signals their competitors were giving to each other and be able to report. It was one big competition. Everybody wanted to know them. The Rothschilds wanted to know everything that Joseph Mengele was doing, and they all wanted to know what NASA was doing, and they were all competing for each other secretly behind closed doors without anybody knowing, because they all wanted to be the one to rule the New World Order. Just a bunch of very sick people who are very deluded or deceived or whatever, but they're very, very sick. Okay.
And you were given a scientific language by Nazis that were working in NASA.
Yes. And I would like to tell you that I don't know. I, Esther, don't know. I don't know what that language was.
Okay.
But Wernher von Braun was Sue's programmer and Joseph Mengele was mine. And so they were both from Nazi Germany. And,
right. Correct.
And so we both had a lot of that same secret, a lot of the technology that came out of the evil Nazi stuff. And I Esther am like so still clueless on this, but I'm not sure exactly how we received all the gifting, but I know that a lot of those supernatural giftings, well, they're all demonic. So we renounced every single one of them, you know, remote viewing, astral mm-hmm. travel, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, we walked in all of it, mm-hmm. including Sue wrote in Thanks for the Memories about being able to walk in the fire and not be burned. And I understand that it was probably from our demonic help.
Yeah.
That we entered supernatural realm. And what I'm seeing now is that that there is, I don't know if it's just my perception or if it's reality, but the demonic side is walking in supernatural gifting, while the church is not.
Unfortunately, well, some areas of the church, yeah, which is unfortunate, you know, and that.
I mean, at the church to wake up to ask Jesus, what is my supernatural gifting and what is my calling so that we can be powerful enough and close enough to Jesus to war. Mm-hmm. We're in a war. We're in a big war, and we need to be with our weapons, and our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through Jesus with all this supernatural stuff. And we have to learn how to not only pray in the spirit, pray against all of these supernatural beings, but we need to have all of our weapons as Christians. So we can be in the war with you.
Now, I'm just going to throw this out here, and we're not going to go down this road too far at the moment. But, you know, one of the things that I have begun talking about more and more is the reality of the significance of what occurred in the pre-Adamic age, specifically in the spirit world relative to the pre-Adamic age. And I just want to ask this question. How much of what you're navigating now do you think connects to that age?
I think it completely connects. I think it's not done. I think that I think it was Tom Horn. It was either Tom Horn or Ellie Marzulli said, when people, you know, it's like no one has an answer to the cattle mutilation. No one's been brought into criminal charges. They don't understand how it's all so supernaturally done, you know, that everything. Mm. But they were saying, these men of God were saying how they're all like the pagan sacrifices. They're all done on all the animals and humans that the pagans back in the pre-Adamic time. And in all through the Bible, all this time, there's always been sacrifice to demons. And this is what, you know, people are watching all this UFO stuff and believing that it might be something real or there's really an alien race, when I believe what Jesus said it's true, is that it's all demonic. And we need to all understand how Satan can masquerade as an angel of light, and all of his demons can masquerade as whatever they want. And they can fool people. And they have, even down through the pre-Adamic age, they fooled people, even godly people, and they got ensnared. So we need to know the wiles of the enemy. The Bible says that, because he does and will and is going to continue to masquerade as some kind of benevolent being to help. And I believe this is going to be the great deception, is that they're going to then, the government will finally say, yes, this is all real. We know about this. And these are our friends. Or they're going to help us. And we're going to be back into Satan. Oh my gosh. That will be the great deception upon the church. And oh my gosh. Well, I can cry right now about that.
And of course, the release of the hybrids that they've been working on and building seems to be part of the plan as well.
And they're all in the deep underground military bases. And I'm grateful now to know I wasn't the only one that saw them.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about Wormwood as like Project Wormwood and what they were using you for in that particular project. What do you want to walk us into next?
Okay. I want to make a statement, and I believe this is prompted by the Holy Spirit. But if you will read the truth about what happened to, I think his name was Frank Olson, who was part of a lot of Wormwood. And is that they indicated that he suicided, that he jumped out of his New York building. And I just want to make a very clear statement now, is that I've been hearing from Kevin Zadai is that all these people suicided. You know, they wrapped their own cord from their lawnmower or something around their own head. It's just ridiculous. Okay, so I, Esther, have no plan to suicide, kill myself. I am happily with Jesus, doing the work that he's called me to do. And if anything should happen to me, you will know who did it, because I have copious notes in my journal, and I am making this all known publicly, who my perpetrators are. So you will know if something happens to me, it's going to be because of the Rothschild family, because of the Jesuit general, the Pope, the Vatican, NASA, and the scientists that are still there. It will be from some of these so-called royal families, the British royal family, the Prince Bernhard, Netherlands, and Princess Charlene of the Grimaldi family. And I can't think of exactly where it is, but they're all over there in that area. And so you will know that this was a criminal act. This will be a criminal act if anything happens to me. And so I am with Jesus and I am doing what he asked me to do. And I know that because I am a believer and I know Jesus so well that whether I am in my body, like Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Lord Jesus is the one where I would be no matter whether I was dead or alive. But I just need to make that statement. Okay, so this was from my journal, December 2019, which was actually the year that I was rescued in February. So I had quite a few memories by December. And I wrote in my journal, last night I went to bed at 7:30 p.m. after an hour or more of intense, spontaneous yawning deliverance. An infant part called little baby girl came into the body to suck her thumb. I am finding that when these youngest parts come forward, I am drawn deeper and deeper and more into flashbacks and their memories. And during that time, also, I was reading, like I am now, every day in the morning in the Bible. And I was reading John 19:1, where we read about Jesus being tortured too, flogged with lead-tipped whip. And I wrote, with our memories of the past few days of extreme torture, endless torture, extreme endless torture, we now more fully understand why the places in the Bible where Jesus was tortured and then murdered were and still are nearly impossible to stay present with to read, as we dissociate so automatically with all these things that happen to us too. And I think that's really important for survivors who are in recovery to know, is that they may read stuff and dissociate that they've ever even read it if it has anything to do with the memories inside that they have not had, which is one huge reason to have your trauma memory. Very important to know where your triggers are, because if you don't know them, you will dissociate and not see anything, or you'll go right back into programming. Even if you think you're recovered, but you've not had very important memories. Okay, and then I wrote, reading John 19:11, through the Father, Jesus has all power. He's not a powerless wimp like the Satanists claim, or like we believed when we were inside and saw nothing else but the demonic. So it's something that every single day as we watch Jesus work with us, we know that he is the power. And that just like Satan didn't know when they were crucifying Jesus, that they were actually doing heinous torture, but they were doing God's will, that this had to happen. That there's so much that is happening now that they don't know. The demonic Satanists, they can't see it happening, but God is working powerfully and mightily. Okay. I wrote, reading the scriptures this morning, Holy Spirit impressed on me right now during the time I was working with infant part. It is more important, he said, the Holy Spirit said, to allow me to come inside and heal all childhood generational woundings than to study the scriptures to be perfect in studying scriptures. It's more important to read my word, to know me and my ways, the Holy Spirit said. But once knowing me and learning to communicate with me, it's more important to clear and clean up inside from birth on so you can become one with me. Removing the log from your eyes before trying to help others remove their log. Because your own log will cause blind spots that keep you from seeing clearly to help others. Turn now totally within, for I have much to teach you, my child. The breakdown has begun and will increase greatly and will continue deeply until your birthday on January 20th, 2020 and afterward, after which I will continue. During and after these deepest infant childhood Mengele tortures, you will understand the utter, complete, absolute depth the deepest of your parts experience. They are deeply experienced in the heavenly realm with me and my angel from the time that we had our near-death experiences with Jesus. It will be the unleashing, unlocking of your experience to this realm that will begin to open the way through me for my words to be delivered through the child part and eventually through you, Esther. Let go. It's okay to let down. I got you, my child. I am with you now and forevermore, and have tasked multitudes of legions of angels who are with you intensively right now as you have entered these overwhelming torture memories alone in your room. And he wrote, it was a few angels who stepped in front of you to hide the scissors, the pills, and the sharp implements that the children inside thought to use to end it all as their programming took over their young minds and as all of you collectively hit the wall of endurance. It was then that I, Holy Spirit, told you to go to bed and had you take extra calming supplements. Which I wanted to say that these supplements were not drugs. They were calcium, magnesium, and L-theanine. Very effective to help calm us down. And had you take extra calming supplements and then infused you with my peace to endure the night. Your angels are here packed all around you, my Esther, and your shepherding angel is Joy. And she doesn't leave your side for a moment. And direct the other angel, they will remain in place until the completion of this intensely torturous walk through your infant, toddler's, children's past. This is so gross that I have had a couple nights waking up going, I don't want to read this. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit says it's true. Okay. So I said, sorry about the following is gross, but it's true. On the toilet this morning, I went into absolute terror and the smell that triggered flashbacks of us squatting at 2 years old on the cage bottom, the cage that they called our cell block. So this was back to Mengele, where we had to, be right over the drain and pooping carefully. There was nothing to sit on or wipe with. It smelled bad in that place. Some of it got stuck on the cage wire and didn't go all the way down. When the guard came to use the pressure hose, especially under the cage by the drain, he called out loudly in a foreign language that wasn't French, in a tone of voice that screamed red alert, to which three armed guards in uniform came running toward our cell block like it was a huge emergency. The pressure hose guard pointed to us, and one of the guards opened the locked door of our cage while another ran inside, grabbed our little naked body, and began shaking us so hard our little teeth hit together and it felt like he would shake us to death. All this and the guards ran so fast, it was all simultaneously happening so fast we could not mentally keep up, and very quickly became totally overwhelmed, dizzy, and nearly fainted, which we were known to do often. We were also prone to seizures. The guard took very extremely smelly, the guard took extremely smelling feces and forced our mouth open, jammed the feces inside, and then forced our jaw closed. There was a lot of screaming and yelling of angry male voices around us. And then we were taken and laid on a cement floor where they used a full force pressure cleaner on us. We felt like we were painfully exterminated. There were many, many of the high red alert emergencies that were called for, unimaginably small grievances, endless violations that were really just now we see human body natural events. The pressure washer felt like a weapon of torture as the icy cold water hit us at such high pressure it burned. It stung and felt like it was ripping into us as two guards held our legs apart, one holding one leg and the other holding the other leg, while the third guard held us under both arms as he stood behind us, while the pressure hose guard came closer to blast us in between our legs. "You filthy, dirty little whore, I ought to kill you, you ugly, smelling, foul-odored scum, poor excuse for a human being." These types of words were normal, and it went on and on and on, seeming never to end. Afterwards, the guard sort of just tossed our limp little body into our cage, which hurt, hitting the chain fence type material. We wanted death. We yearned for it. I see now that we were surrounded by angels, and at different times during the torture of our body, mind, and spirit, parts of us left the body to be with angels and with Jesus. I can barely tolerate getting anywhere near these memories. Our heart is going from racing to feeling like it will stop, and we stop breathing and hold our breath. Our feelings are absolutely intolerable, but I know we are feeling only a little bit of them, thanks to God's grace. "Sorry, Jesus, sorry, Jesus." These words race through our minds. We are sobbing, but then stop immediately due to what happens when the guards catch a child crying. It's worse what happens when that happens. And I was writing to Jesus in my journal, "I can't face this yet. Jesus, please strengthen us." And I wrote, "Now I understand why it was impossible for my twin Sue to cry for a few years when she started therapy. Silent screaming is also exploding within our mind. Any normal human response was tortured out of us as an infant, as a toddler, or a small child. These inner kids became non-feeling. They can't feel their body or emotion. They became non-feeling, inhuman robots who became conditioned and trained through torture to wear a mask of normality, hiding all that was done to make this body a total and completely locked up, locked down, locked, fake, smiley mask that hid anything that would divulge the truth. This controlled our mind, our memory, feelings, and facial expression. We became dead inside of ourselves." This is December 24th, so it's Christmas Eve, 2019. Flashbacks continued, and it was 8 o'clock. I see a small child sitting on the floor again, knees up and arms around them, heads down on her arms. Who is this? We see Jesus go inside to this child, and he put his hand gently on her head, and he said, "It's time to wake up. It's going to be okay. I will help you." Jesus bends down, kneeling with one knee by her side. And when she doesn't respond or move, Jesus says, "I know you're in there. Let me help you. I know you're hurting. I can help." She slowly peeks her head, lifted up just a tiny bit. She doesn't seem to know it's Jesus. She puts her head back down and he says, I have a gift for you. I know your name. I know you are Star Child. She looks up, curiously wondering, how does he know my name? Jesus says, I know they put the glowing stars on your sisters and your ceiling. You want to know why? Even more curiously interested, she said, yeah. Come with me. I want to show you something, Jesus says. And off they go together. As Jesus takes her near a pond, he says, do you remember this pond? She says, yes, it's Reseda Park in California. We went there with Cal to feed the ducks. And Cal was our biological father who did not raise us, but raised Sue. Okay, so she says, yes, it's Reseda Park in California. We went there with Cal to feed the ducks. And did you, Jesus asked? Yes, we brought bread. She starts to feel really scared, terrified, actually. And I, Esther, was speaking to Jesus. I broke in. I said, now I realize she is the part who has been so close the past few hours that we felt our legs shaking and then our whole body shaking as she came forward in the body. What is causing the leg shaking? Jesus says, keep watching. We see a man coming up with another little girl who looks just like her. Upon closer examination, it's the guy with the disguises, Henry Kissinger, of course. And the little girl with him is our twin. She has on a wig with pigtails, but our hair is cut short. Henry brings the little girl close, and Cal takes her hand as Henry takes ours and says, this is what happens when he caused problems. We weren't sure what he was talking about, but we watched as Cal took our twin back to the car, so we got swapped. We always felt eerily strange willies, chill bumps go up our back when our twin was around, but we never got to see her much. Henry said, we have business to do, so straighten up. Henry put us in the back seat of a black car and told the driver to take us to the airport, which I believe is now called Burbank Airport, which he did. Once at the airport, Henry and I were put on a private plane, a very nice luxury one, and flown to New York. Henry put us in a seat by ourselves and gave us a shot in our left forearm, and we fell instantly asleep. It was cold when we started to wake up while walking in much colder weather in New York. Henry put a long coat and hat on us and took us into his offices through the back way. We went into his private office and onto the wooden spinning chair. Henry used his watch to hypnotize us, saying, watch the watch, watch the watch. And then Henry started asking questions that we, now looking very robotic, answered. We feel very, very sleepy, like we will fall fast asleep when he suggests, you're getting very, very sleepy. In this state of sleepiness, Henry accesses many of our mind files within us, getting reports from our California assignment, giving messages, and even when we were little, that little. He said he had to send us home with messages and access our files and spoke into them for us to record and deliver when we got home to France. We don't know what the messages are. The lady with the blonde hair takes us to the plane after Henry finishes with us. She is going to take us to a death to life event put on by Daddy Rothschild Guy, but we don't know it yet, that she will take us to the Swiss Alps, where spectators had already arrived for the event. She stayed in the room with us and gave us a shot to go to sleep. The next day, rich people in very nice clothes met at the outskirts of the resort. The doctors were ready with the equipment. They killed us, this time in a chamber, instead of burying us in the snow, and we died. Mm-hmm. This way, with the equipment, our vitals were witnessed by all the attendees when we were viewed dead. Then they waited until we came back to life. witnessing all this, they cheered, and we were taken to some hospital, accompanied by the white coat in a medical transport. At the hospital, they continued the medical experiment, but that night something happened. Our body started shaking uncontrollably. We are writhing in our bed, and we turn red and sweaty. The doctors said she's feverishly hot, and they started medical procedures. Suddenly, like it's happened before, it feels so familiar as we slip into euphoria and suddenly find ourselves out of our body. We see our body now laying in the hospital bed below us. We can see the doctors going crazy, rushing around, trying to figure out why we have gone into cardiac arrest. We see them put the paddles on our chest to try to jumpstart our heart, but it doesn't work. And we flatline again just hours after Daddy's Death to Life symposium. Still out of our body, we stop watching what the doctors are doing. When we catch a glimpse of Mr. Lightman, which is what we call Jesus, out of our body, we don't feel scared or sick anymore. We just feel so good and relieved to be in his presence again, just like visiting an old best friend. Jesus says, "It's going to be okay, my child." And he knew a lot of our names. Starshine, Star Child, Starfire. On one day, Jesus says, this will all end abruptly, and then my plan will be implemented, obliterating your controller's plan and reinstating mine. And I want to just pause here a minute and say that I'm now in that plan. I'm now in God's plan. This is like a milestone. And to be reading this is very exciting because we're now in Jesus' plan. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Dandoval. Thank you. Okay, so here we are back here with Jesus out of body. And suddenly, we were back in our body with all the medical equipment, and the doctors were relieved and said, "We're so glad you're back. You had us scared," as they continued questioning us to see if they could discover more about our experience. When they asked, "Where did you go?" we said, "To see our Mr. Lightman." "Who?" the man asked. "Mr. Lightman, our friend." Precociously, our part, Starshine, says to me, Esther, and to Jesus, "The best thing those doctors could ever come up with is that we must be an alien from an advanced planet." Jesus says, "Esther, I know you are upset with child parts having memories and are in pain and feeling your caregiver doesn't care and just left you when it feels like death could happen again at any moment, not only due to the scary horror of the mingle-up memories of extreme torture, but also with the programming responses that your parts have felt to split your wrist, to cut yourself with a knife, jump off the mountain here, shave your head, etc. But I am with you. Angels are with you, and we are all closer now in life here on earth than ever before. I am taking very good care of you, my Esther, and your caregiver will return, and you will resolve these issues with her as she begins to understand more of the deep needs of these severely broken and tortured children." It's actually a healthy response that the children inside are so angry and have distanced themselves from her. If they didn't care, they would not react so deeply. They need her desperately now, and she's not here. They are reliving their worst torture memories, and she's on vacation, and you aren't. Time will reveal many things. And those words have multiple meanings to me right now. Time will reveal many things. And Jesus says, "It's going to be okay. You are on the precipice, but it's not a cliff to jump from. It's a cliff where you will take flight with me, my child. Now it's time to go to bed. I will fill you with my peace, Jesus says. I, your heavenly Father, love you when all else fails. I am always here and always will be, Jesus. All right, now we're on Christmas Day. And all I wrote was spiritual attacks are heavy due to satanic Xmas, High Holy Day. A word from Jesus, and this was a very rough day. And the word must be somewhere else because I don't have it. But it's probably somewhere in my journal. Okay. Then the day after Christmas, 2019, a very small child named Roger, Roger in English, Roger in French. I can hear this little boy's voice in my head. He pronounced his name in French, and he says he is 6 to 8 years old. I will type up what he scrawled in my journal in a child's handwriting, with some letters even backwards and very broken language. Okay, so Roger says, I am a boy. There's many, many boys in here. Need lots of boys because we have to be tough. Very, very tough. We love, love, love Kelly. That's Sue's daughter. She tells it like it is, mommy, and the kids inside were calling me mommy. And that's where I wrote, the kids inside often call me Esther mommy. Okay, he says, Kelly even say I tortured, which was the truth. We desperate to help Kelly, but we broken down, not feel good. We know how it feels to have to lay naked on wire cage. It hurts and have to try to move around a lot, but it still hurts to lay on the wire. Sometimes when we lay in bed, our body remembers, but you, Esther, don't remember. But now I do, because Jesus say, okay, Roger, it's your turn to share. I was with you, Roger, then when you were tortured, and I am with you now, so you can have your turn to share. Okay, hang on. And I, Esther, wrote, Jesus is delivering us, lots and lots of us coughing. An older child is writing for Roger, and I am seeing the flashback of his experience when he was even younger. I see the cage, and I see the baby in the cage. The baby is naked and alone, laying on its back. It looks less than a year old. It lays lifeless, often still and listless. It knows no existence except internal and external pain, coldness, a lost, separate, not real, deeper than alone feeling, terror, living in a state of terror and dissociation. This baby is not identified with its body. Instead, it escapes. It escapes its body by leaving it, and much of the euphoric feeling of dying is now no longer feeling the pain of the torture that is occurring. More intense torture is intermittently performed on it by guards in uniform as they torture the infant inside and outside the wire cage where it is contained for 6 week intervals with Joseph Mingle. I said this, Esther. I know it is going to be bad memories when Jesus shows up in person here with us in a more visual form. Jesus says, Esther, this experience and others is soon going to be very intense. Felt more in your body as I bring infants and toddlers close for loving nurturing from your caregiver. As you experience these times in your life, it will feel familiar and yet strange. As you feel how it felt in your body as an infant being tortured, and the healing will come when your caregiver comforts, tends to, hold, feeds, etc., bringing an experience of rescue to these little ones in the physical. Do not fear that you will stay stuck in these infant torture states forever, but I will leave you in these states long enough for a human love experience. and presence to rescue and then comfort these children. These infants were systematically and methodically tortured for reasons of creating dissociated states that would keep you separated from yourself, your experience, to make you zombie-like, unable to remember the truth of the torture experiences. But in truth, these torture experiences are never truly forgotten. They actually begin to unconsciously run your life and continue running it by keeping you disconnected from yourself, your body, your mind, your memory, your feeling, and your true reality. But one thing this torture did not do, and that was it never separated your parts from me, my angels, or the heavenly realms where we live and exist. As you are safer with good, loving care of these infants who know me very well, will be entering your physical body, Esther, for the first time since then, as I reconnect them, bring them forward to your body, to your soul, your being, your spirit, so you can begin to heal back into your body. I will be bringing lots of parts of you back to your body to be reconnected to your body, your mind, and your spirit, which in time will bring greater and greater wholeness. This winter, I am bringing the youngest parts back. Many parts were tortured, but the earliest personality splits were damaged the most due to their inability to function at undeveloped states. And damage was done to their trying to develop brains, which were instead damaged and delayed by torture. I am going to heal them in my timing and in my ways. Experiencing the rejoining of these infant and toddler parts will also allow you to remember and re-experience interactions with me and with my angels who were assigned to them during these intense torture experiences that forced them out of body and into the realm of my spirit. My presence and my angels had legal right to help them because of the simple prayers of your womb mother, Betty, when she prayed for your twin, praying, help her. What will come back to you, Esther, when I bring these tortured ones back to your body will be these experiences with me, Jesus, and the angel that will begin to become your true conscious reality along with the torture experiences. And I went into deep deliverance, yawning again. Mm-hmm. Jesus continued, once this process of restoration is completed, you will literally have one foot in earth reality and one foot in the heavenly realms. From that new place of your existence, you will be able to serve me, Esther, as a prophet. I looked up the definition of prophet. A prophet is an individual who is regarded as being in contact with a divine being and is said to speak on that divine being's behalf, serving as an intermediary with humanity by delivering messages or teaching from a supernatural source. And Jesus continued, this is the reason for the name I have given you, Esther. You, my Esther, will be a divine revelator, revealing my will, my direction in time to my people. You will not be alone. I know that is hard for you to hear now, but in time, as you grow up, you will be okay with the future I have planned with you, for you. And I went into 8 hours of deep deliverance with Jesus. These early days, I spent a lot of time in deliverance. I wrote, there is so much to deal with. Presently, at 68 years old, I, Esther, feel very old and very ugly. The ugly, bad twin. Later, Jesus said so loudly and clearly, you are my beautiful Esther. I could feel that he meant it. And now I don't care if anyone thinks we are ugly, because in Jesus' eyes, we are beautiful Thank you, Steve. Should I keep going or what?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, wow.
Is this
this
the
is really
conclusion?
Cool.
Is this the conclusion of that section?
No, but this part I really need to read.
Okay.
There was a children's storybook that I recommend everyone read, even if you're not a child. It's called the Children's Storybook Bible. And Sue had it, so we got it. And the Holy Spirit led me to read A Dark Night in the Garden from the Children's Storybook Bible, where Jesus asked his disciples, "Please stay up with me." This was before he was to be crucified. But the disciples fell asleep. And Jesus says to us now, "Esther and the kids, thank you. You are staying up with me by doing as I say now, even when you don't understand. And it's very scary and painful to all the children inside and to you, Esther. I love you all very much. And I am glad that you can trust me so much more now with the careful, loving care of your life as you lay it before me. I will use your life for my, I will use it for my glory to show people who I am." So if we could stop there, I have a lot more pictures. I mean, there's tons of it, but I think
the powerful thing is, you know, as you are journeying all of these very dark and painful memories, the support and the care and the affirmation that Jesus is following up on those things with is absolute redemption.
Yes.
Again.
He did it over and over. He did it over and over and over and over again. I mean, it was, I don't know how to say this, but it's like he knew everything that happened to us. And he was with us on that side when it happened. And then he was with us as the kid, as he brought these children forward. And we've done this for 5 years. But the earliest child ones all came in the first 2 years, really. And it helped us to know him, helped me, Esther. The kids knew him more than I did because I was the presenter, and honestly, I knew Jesus through my sister, through our one mind connection. And in her probably last 10 years, she knew him like this, where he was directing her path to. So the past, you know, her past years with him were very influential on me, because the one mind programming had me still believing I was Sue. I mean, I still catch myself when I realize, no, that happened to her. But I understand that we may have that forever. I mean, we may have that confusion in our consciousness until we get to heaven. I don't know how it all works, but I know that I just can't tell people to reach out to Jesus and ask him to help you. He loves you. He will not be mad at you. He will not turn away from all this evil. He knows exactly what happened and why it happened. He will just love you and help you. He will never do what the devil and all these programmers tell you that he will. He is a perfect, loving, unconditionally loving Father. And he will help you and he will be with you. And if you ask, he will even take the bad feelings and the pain away. I've asked him so many times, please take this pain from my body. Please take, you know, please help me go to sleep. And as I read, he would fill us with his peace at night. And now I ask him every night, please fill us with your peace. And he's with us. So for every survivor, you're going to be frame that Jesus is some monster, but he is the biggest gift you will ever give yourself. He is my treasure. He is my complete treasure. And without him now, I wouldn't want to live without him. Amen. Even if it meant not living here, I want to be with Jesus. He's awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. Friends, we've been talking with Esther. I think this is a very, very positive place to pause this conversation until later. So, Esther, thank you for your bravery and thank you for your willingness to talk. And friends, until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at dandeval.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.